I'm John Moe. This is Future Tense from American Public Media, your guide to technology and the modern world. Google wrapped up its developers conference yesterday, rolling out a new version of the Android operating system for mobile devices. Runs faster, lets you buy apps from your computer that load automatically onto your phone. The U.S. government launches a redesign of data.gov today, an online repository of freely available government information. And analyst Mike Abramsky with RBC Capital Markets issued an investor's note yesterday that iPads are now outselling Macs. He estimates Apple will sell 8 million iPads this year. Those iPads are made in China, of course, and this week we learned of another suicide in the Chinese city of Shenzhen at the Foxconn plant. Foxconn produces a lot of electronics that might be in your home. They make iPhones and iPods for Apple, stuff for HP, Motorola, the Amazon Kindle. This was the seventh suicide this year, and Foxconn says there have been at least 30 suicide attempts there just in the last month. Alexandra Harney is the author of The China Price, The True Cost of Chinese Competitive Advantage. She joins us from Hong Kong. Alexandra, describe the Foxconn facility.
Well, the Foxconn facility in Shenzhen is most likely the world's largest factory. The estimates that I've seen for the number of workers in that plant range from 250,000 workers to 400,000. Inside, Foxconn has installed swimming pools, basketball courts, internet cafes. There are shops, there are banks, there are coffee shops. It's a world into itself.
What's a typical day for a factory worker?
A factory worker in a factory like Foxconn would get up probably around 7. They would need to be on the line promptly by 8 at the latest. And they would work until lunch when they'd have another, perhaps an hour to eat in a factory canteen. They would be doing the same thing over and over again for those several hours. They'd come back to the line, they'd work until the evening, and they'd have dinner and then go back onto the line after dinner again. So that factory worker is putting in, all told, perhaps 10 or 11 hours a day. Many of these workers don't even know the names of the people that they share a dorm room with.
We're seeing this spike in suicides. We're seeing a dramatic spike in suicide attempts. What's happening that wasn't happening before that might be causing this?
It's really difficult to pinpoint what it is that's causing each of these suicides. What we do know is that a lot of these young people work under huge amounts of pressure. They work long hours and they work under very rigid rules. This is an environment where people have very little time to themselves and where they are disconnected from their family and friends. There is a vicious cycle going on at this factory where it's become more acceptable to some of these workers to jump off the roof of their dorms. So I think that it highlights to me the pressures in the supply chain and the extraordinary nature of these factories. There really is nowhere else on earth like the Foxconn factory, with so many people working towards the same goal, with so few connections between them. It's a very odd place to work.
You talk about being paid by the piece. Tell me how that system works.
Well, about half of these workers' salaries are a base wage. So they'll make the legal minimum wage, but the other half is overtime. And so basically, if you take home $200, $100 of that is what the government says you're supposed to be paid. And then there's another extra hours that you're earning by working late at night and on weekends and on holidays. And the way it works is every time you finish snapping together the back of an iPod as a worker at this factory, you might slip a little piece of paper in a drawer to count how many pieces you've produced that day. So piece number 34, okay, piece of paper number 34, I've finished 34 items. And at the end of the day, you hand in the number of pieces that you've produced, and your salary is calculated based on the amount that you make every day. So there's huge incentive for these workers to work as quickly as they can and to make as much money as they can so they can move on and do something that they might enjoy more.
We've seen in recent months the release of Apple's iPad, and it's a huge seller, and you know, there's almost a giddiness over how many of these things are going out the door, and people are all excited about it. It's a life-changing thing. Does that boom in popularity lead directly to a lot more pressure in a facility like the Foxconn facility?
I would think that absolutely a new product launch has got to be one of the more high pressure things that a factory does, because they haven't been producing it at volume before. They've been ramping up production, and there is obviously a lot of expectation from the customer that those iPads or iPhones or, you know, personal computers get out the door on time and at the highest quality. So while I haven't been inside the factory and I haven't talked to the workers about making the iPad itself, you could imagine that anyone who's working towards a deadline like that, you cannot miss that deadline, and you cannot scrimp on quality in a new product launch, that there is a lot of pressure involved. I should say, though, that if you talk to people in the area in Shenzhen, they'll tell you that there is a line outside the door of that factory every day of hundreds of people starting at dawn looking for a chance to work in this factory. So while there are a lot of problems within the factory, there are still a lot of people who are willing to make that sacrifice for a year of their lives.
And what's so attractive about working there?
Well, I guess the comparison has got to be with other factories and the other options available to these workers. What is most interesting about what's happening among China's young workers today is that they, because of China's one-child policy that was instituted in 1979, there are fewer workers now for all the factories in China than there used to be. And so workers know that they have a choice. They can work in the Foxconn factory, or they can work in a restaurant. They have other choices. But Foxconn's conditions are better than some of the other local Chinese factories. And so while there are issues, as we've talked about, to these workers, this is a chance to make a slightly higher wage than they might make elsewhere. Maybe it's less dangerous. There are less fumes on the line than you would have in a factory that is producing, say, jewelry or producing a number of products that are much more dangerous if you inhale some of the fumes. So there are things about this factory that are more attractive: wages, conditions, and the fact that perhaps you get predictably paid on time, which is not always the case at Chinese factories.
So at this facility where workers are working 6 days a week, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, that's still more attractive. That's one of the better factories. That's one of the better options for young Chinese people.
Yeah, I remember sitting on a bus in southern China, and I sat down, and there was a young worker right next to me in a Foxconn uniform. And I asked him, you know, you work at one of the world's most influential factories. You know, we all own something that was made in your factory. What's it like? You know, or is it really that military style discipline that we hear about in some of these factories? And he said, actually, it's not that bad. You know, I feel lucky to have a job. And I think that attitude is starting to fade among some workers. People don't feel that they're lucky to have a job anymore. They're picky. But the fact is that a lot of the conditions in Chinese factories still are very poor. And there is a huge room for improvement in many, many Chinese factories. And so what Foxconn is, in some ways, is an illustration of the long road that we have to hoe in China in terms of improving conditions in factories. Foxconn has made a lot of improvements since these suicides started happening. They've installed all these facilities, the swimming pool, the basketball courts. They now have contests among workers to try to encourage them to learn the names of their colleagues. But it's still not enough. These workers still don't feel stimulated. They still don't feel that this is a creative working environment that they want to stay in for longer than a year. So that's the better end of Chinese factories, sadly. The more basic issues about getting paid on time, about actually getting paid what you're owed, about not having to breathe in toxic fumes, about not coming down with an occupational disease, this sadly is still the case at many other Chinese factories.
How hard is it to come by accurate information about what's happening there? It doesn't strike me as the most open in terms of information and transparency.
Well, we know that Apple is very tight with the information about their products. And as, you know, a big supplier to Apple, Foxconn is not going to let people in willy-nilly to look at the line. Equally, I find that they're becoming a bit more open to at least Chinese reporters talking to them about what they're trying to do to improve the situation, because obviously this is a public relations nightmare for Foxconn. So The factory itself, when you go in through the door, these workers will also have to deal with searches to make sure that they're not taking, certainly when they come out, they're not taking any kind of the devices out with them. But even as a partner, a business partner of Foxconn's, when you come in, you generally have to leave all of your equipment at the door. You check your computer, you check your phone, you come in just with whatever papers you need. They are very tight about security. They don't want a lot of people poking around their production lines or their offices for that matter. And so it is difficult to get visibility into factories. I found in the years that I've been looking at Chinese factories that there is a real veil of secrecy that the factory managers would like to cast over what they do there, because some of it, as we're starting to see, is not pretty.
I read where Foxconn is expected to ship 24 million iPhone 4Gs this year. This is a device that hasn't even been publicly released yet. What is that going to do for conditions and a working environment such as Foxconn's?
Well, it's hard to say what one product would do to the conditions and the working environment in a factory. What we can say is that the working conditions in a lot of Chinese factories have not improved that dramatically over the last few years, even though we've had scandals and horrible issues like these suicides. We are still seeing that factory conditions are not improving as quickly as they could. So what we will see in the manufacturer of the iPhone 4G and the manufacturer of most of the consumer electronics that we buy, most of which are made in China, is a continuation of the same kind of practices, where often many people are not paid what they're owed. Many people are working in very challenging, toxic environments. And at the same time, workers are increasingly aware that they're not being paid what they're owed. So there is a growing sense of resentment among workers who feel that they are owed more than what they're being paid.
Do you know what kind of pressure Foxconn is under from Apple to produce a certain amount at a certain rate in order to keep Apple's margins where they want to be? I mean, it seems like an economy that needs to function just so.
All of these factories in China operate under extraordinary pressure from their customers in the West, and for that matter, from their Chinese customers. Foxconn is not operating in a vacuum. It has local Chinese competitors. BYD is a great example of a mainland Chinese company that has come up and is taking a growing share of the electronics contract manufacturing. Foxconn has to keep its eye on BYD. At the same time, there are other options that Apple could try to, you know, explore about manufacturing. It's not just that Foxconn can name its price and say, Apple, you've got to deal with it. This is our, you know, we have 400,000 workers here in China, and this is what you're going to pay. It's much more a relationship where Apple, being a gigantic company, says, this is what we need you to make it for, and you need to make it quickly, and you need to continue to cut your costs. So there is a huge amount of pressure in the supply chain to keep costs as low as possible, to keep lead times as short as possible, and to ensure that quality is as high as possible. And so while that makes perfect sense from a business perspective, what we're seeing with these suicides is the human effect of that kind of working environment.
Is there something about, culturally about suicide in China, maybe especially among younger adults, that we in the West need to understand?
Well, in fact, until recently, China was, I believe, the only country in the world where more women committed suicide than men. And that has flipped recently, where now more men, as in the rest of the world, commit suicide than women. But in rural China, and this is where a lot of these suicides happen in China, in the countryside, women would take their own lives by consuming chemicals. And that is fairly common. The suicide data for China, from what I've read, is slightly higher than some Western countries, but it's not off the charts by any means. I think that in Asia generally, having lived out here for a while, I see that people, there is a greater social acceptance It's not that suicide is not a tragedy. It is a tragedy to everyone, but particularly in places like Japan, it's just much more common as a part of business life, and indeed as a part of taking the train to work. It's very common to see people or to hear about people taking their own lives. It's very sad. I think that there's been a lot more awareness and discussion of this, particularly in the Chinese media over the last few weeks, about these cases of mental illness, where people are going into schools in China and going on killing rampages. And there's a discussion about whether the mental health facilities in China are sufficient. And certainly that is one aspect of this very sad story about suicide in China.
Do the factories offer counseling? You've described these as small cities. Presumably there's some health component or mental health component on site.
Well, typically there is no mental health component in a typical Chinese factory. But what's happened since the suicides began at Foxconn, the company has brought in counselors and is trying to find ways to help workers feel better. One report I read is that they even have been bringing in Buddhist monks from the famous Wutai Mountain in China. Another thing that they're trying to do is to find ways to encourage workers to report their colleagues' malaise. So if you see anything wrong with your colleague, you can, if they seem to be acting out of the ordinary, Foxconn has told its employees, you should report them. And if we do find that they have been suffering with some problems, we will give you a reward. So, you know, that reward is basically saying we will pay you to report potential suicides. Some of the counselors and consultants who work with Chinese factories that have been quoted in the Chinese media have been saying this is a terrible kind of way to encourage people to equate caring with money. And what a sad kind of situation that Foxconn is in to have to do that. But there is certainly a much greater awareness now at Foxconn, if not at other factories in China, that there are these issues in a young, vulnerable population that's cut off from its families.
Alexander Harney is the author of The China Price. We have more on this issue at futuretense.publicradio.org, including a story from a Chinese reporter who went undercover as an employee at Foxconn. This is Future Tense. I'm John Mo.
Future Tense is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses stay connected to their customers with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. Over 300,000 small businesses and nonprofits use ConstantContact.com.
American Public Media.